Okay. Greetings and a very warm welcome to everyone. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and this is the September 2020 Action Call. Very much appreciate everybody making time to be with us tonight. And also those of you who are listening after the fact on our iPod recording, which is available on the Peace Alliance website on the Peace On page. There are downloadable podcasts from all of our past calls. The agenda for tonight, we are having the third of a three-month series around truth and reconciliation. So tonight is the third part, and then we're going to transition into another format for continuing the Truth and Reconciliation Initiative, not on these monthly calls. So you'll hear more about that a little bit later. I'm joined on this call by my fellow Peace Alliance Leadership Council lead, Yelena Popovich, who is the lead for Teaching Peace in Schools. And I'm also joined by Jay Thompson, who is a dear friend and recent colleague, who I'll be introducing at greater length in a bit. The three of us are gonna be teaming up on this call. In a moment, Yelena's gonna do sort of a warm presencing exercise for us. And then Jay is going to present about truth and reconciliation. And it's gonna be from the personal to the cultural and political, not necessarily in that order. So we talked about sort of moving from the outer to the inner and to some other inner space and related space and then back to the outer. So in true Peace Alliance style, I think our work is going to include both inner work and also political organizing and advocacy work. After Jay presents, then Yelena is going to guide us with a focused meditation that will lead us into some breakout sessions where we're going to welcome you all to do some work in small groups, and you'll have some prompts around what that work looks like. And then we'll welcome you all back to sort of debrief and report back about that process. And then we're going to talk about putting some of these steps into action in a few different ways, culturally, politically, and with some teamwork that we're going to facilitate on into the future. After that, we'll have an update from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee representative. I believe that's going to be Nancy Merritt. I see Nancy's with us, as well as Kendra Mon, another two of our peacebuilding superstars. And then we will return to the warmth of the campfire for a closing. So that's the plan for tonight. Again, very warm welcome. Thanks for being with us. And I'll invite Yelena to give us a little opening exercise.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Yelena, and I want to invite us into a circle. Jay and Dan and I facilitate often in a circle, and it's kind of hard being in squares right now. So in order to invite that circle in, just kind of imagining like we are really sitting around a campfire and around a circle and, you know, having that campfire as our centerpiece in the middle. And perhaps, you know, even inviting that warmth by just warming our hands up and, you know, just warming as we would around the campfire, you know? And perhaps, you know, thinking, what are some of the things that, what do you want to let go of? What do you want to let go of as you come into this circle? Is perhaps there is, you know, some kind of assumption or judgment, or maybe there is a tension that you're noticing in your body, or some kind of worry. Just attune to that and see what can you let go of? What can you throw into that fire a little bit to let go of? And then perhaps invite, what do you want to invite? What do you want to invite in for yourself? What is something that you wanna bring in? Is it listening with curiosity? Is it compassion, care, kindness? What are the things you would like to invite into this moment? And then what do you wanna share with others? And perhaps when you warm your hands up, you can extend that, what you want to share with others, so that we all kind of, you know, take that and bring it into a circle for each other. That care and kindness and warmth. And then perhaps offering it to yourself as well. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Yelena. So now it's my pleasure to introduce Jay Thompson to folks on this call. Some folks may be familiar with Jay, some folks may not. I've had the pleasure of cooperating with her recently in recent months here in Florida, where we're developing guidelines for restorative justice practices. And as a colleague on this guidelines working group, I've found Jay consistently inspiring and supportive, helps me to grow and learn and feel joy. And I've got notes from a session that she facilitated at our conference that are still in my journal, that are still a work in progress for me personally. I don't think she knew that. So Jay has a long and impressive resume, but I'm really gonna let her work speak for itself and just turn this over to her for some presentation around truth and reconciliation. Thanks for being with us, Jay.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for all having me and being in this virtual space together. And thank you for Dan for inviting me into this space, introducing me to Yelena, and us being able to really create a wonderful organic conversation around something that...
this is Beth.
Hi. something that's becoming increasingly more...
Kendra.
Important and an opportunity for us to have conversations around, which I think is fantastically transformational when we've had a long history of not taking the time to sit in intention with ourselves and with others to have conversations. And so the conversation that has come up is one centering truth and reconciliation and what that really means. And so myself, Dan, and Yelena decided that we just wanted to have a conversation about what this actually means. And so the question, our essential question for this evening is, what is truth and reconciliation to you? So I'm inviting you to just sit back for a moment and just take your time to hear me provide an explanation of what I have been thinking about as the conversation about truth and reconciliation comes up. And the first thing that I always like to do is give honor to my ancestors that hold me and keep me in this space, and to the people, the indigenous folks that have shared their land and their culture and their experiences with us throughout time. And all of those spaces and places are where I feel like my knowledge is tapped into, and the things that I am allowed to remember being expressed out of my body. So one of the greetings, as I was having a conversation with the wonderful Baba out of, Baba means brother, out of Africa, that they explained when we were having a conversation and talking about folks returning to the continent of Africa. And the greeting is Sani Bonani. So I know that all of our mics are off, but I'm going to just welcome you to just maybe we can mouth it. But it's Sani Bonani. And Sani... Yes, I see a lot. I see mouths moving. But Sani Bonani means I see you. And then the responsiveness to Sani Bonani is Yabo. And so you can hear the rhythm and the heartbeat and the joy that comes out of that. And the reason why you can really give it a fantastic call, like Yabo, is that you are expressing to the person in return that you love being seen. And how many times have we sat in space where we might need to be feeling like we want to be seen and heard? And that's a really big part of what truth and reconciliation is, because the truth component of it is about telling your story, right? Showing up in space and showing how your presence and what your presence has come from the places where you come, the bloodlines you originate, The experiences that you've had, the experiences of the people of your bloodline that you've had, and how that helps you to come into be into space right now. And so when we're talking about truth and reconciliation and talking about our personal stories, I'm thinking that truth and reconciliation is a process of healing, where we are really have the opportunity when we're talking about healing, and we're thinking about when we were young, and we fall, we're learning to do something new, or we're going through a process, and let's just say we stumble and we fall and we get that first scrape on our knee or on our elbow. And that first scrape, the pain is so excruciating in that moment. And in that moment, you actually start, because if you fall on your knee or your elbow, you feel, you actually pay attention to the feeling that the pain that be rising up to some other part of your body or on your elbow. Or if we're thinking about stories or experiences where we've been in a place or having a relationship with someone and something occurs with language or any of the things that occur when people are in communication with each other, and you feel the pain, you feel something. And it takes us to a process like that becomes our personal story. And how do we heal from that? What is it that we need in those moments when we are really connected to what is going on with our bodies? And the healing process is, in my opinion, and in my space, is about sitting in that experience, sitting in that feeling, and then being able to work through it and being able to tap in what to what you need in those moments, the support systems that you need, what you need for yourself, giving yourself permission to be okay to be in the feeling of it, and then also giving yourself permission to figure out healthy ways of managing whatever that feeling is. And so returning back to the concept of the indigenous culture that gives us so many jewels and so many gems, there are, I like to think of things in circles. Yelena helped us by bringing us into a virtual circle in this space and sharing our warmth with each other that I could feel. And so I like to look at the circles and the four directions. We refer to them here in the West as North, South, East, and West, but a lot of indigenous and cultural practice talks about the four directions as well. And so I want to kind of bring us and invite us to think about the four directions of healing in truth. And those four, and I'm, when I'm looking down, I'm just looking at my notes because I'm grown folks and, you know, memory lapses. But the four directions we begin with reawakening in the space. And so that refers back to that falling down, being able to actually feel your elbow or your knee, that connection where it wakes you up. Like, I have an elbow and a knee. I have a heart that goes through some form of pain and feeling. I have a back or shoulders that might feel tension about an experience that I have. I have a heartbeat that might go faster or go slower, and it's reawakening us into the moment, into the spirit. And when we're in that moment, we're starting to think about what do I need in this moment? What do I want to have? What don't I want to have? Who do I want in the space with me? Who do I know that doesn't need to be in the space with me in this moment? What do I need to hear? What do I need to feel? How does that help me to get to a place of healing? And then once that we start having that conversation with ourselves first, hopefully we're in an environment that allows us to support our health in that moment. We also begin to start remembering. We start to think about other experiences that we've had with that reawakening. If it's the first time with a cut, we might think of needing some soothing, and then we will have a memory of a person that soothed us. Some of us have our primary caregivers as that person. Somebody have our elders as that person. Somebody has a really good friend as that person. And that person, we start to remember what it feels like to start feeling better from the pain, from that reawakening. And that's a part of our healing process. And then after we do our, sorry, I'm switching my note space. After we get through our remembering, reconnecting. sorry, I need my notes. But reconnecting. So in our reconnecting space, we are reconnecting to the feeling and to the memory that we've had. So we have our reawakening, we have our reconnecting, and then we have our remembering, of the experience. That helps us to really have a culminating idea about how are we going to get through this process? How are we going to move along? What are we going to do to help manage this space? And then once we do that, we can return in our fullness into the space to be able to connect with and be connected to our truth in the moment. And that translates in this moment where there's a lot of pain, a lot of disconnection with people. And the moment is providing an opportunity, like I said in the beginning, for us to start having these conversations because we are in this moment of reawakening where we are different layers of community and interaction and relationship are having a new experience with one another, a new reality, a new understanding of people's experiences and people's stories, which is a beautiful opportunity for us to be able to grow and to elevate our consciousness and our consideration and our proximity to the people that we have around ourselves, especially as we're moving in this time of technology. There's one side where we have this opportunity to be in virtual space with each other and create warmth in the best way that we can. But then there's also, we're doing social distancing and isolating. So our connectivity and our community becomes really the community that is directly around us. And we were moving in energy, we were moving in space that even though we had those direct connections around us, we might not have been in the intention of developing a relationship with them because we were doing the work of our work, being caregiving, parenting, going out, going to school, all of the things. And now we have the time to actually sit in space with each other. And that has brought up a reawakening for a lot of people to begin this process of reconnecting with each other, remembering what it actually feels like to be close in proximity to another person, how we have to negotiate that space and be able to get to our truth and our stories so that we can then return into the space and be able to start building relationship and connection. And so I really appreciate that all of these concepts of our remembering, reawakening, reconnecting, and returning allows us to get to reconciliation. So that as we are speaking our truth, as we are able to show up in our present self with all of the things that we come into space with, then we can kind of reconcile with what we need, how to heal the bruise of that elbow, that knee, or that heart. That we are felt, that we've sat in space with. I want to offer also in this space some of the things that we're thinking about when we're in these four directions. When we're thinking about reawakening, we're thinking about how are we aligning with our purpose? Again, what are the things that we want? What are the things that we need in time? Thinking about what can I bring into this space in this moment? If somebody's knee or elbow is hurting, I keep on returning to this because I have a lot of young people around me. It's like the young person, what can they bring into the space? If a baby runs up to you and it's just like, 2-year-old, and the person who's the caregiver is looking at them going, what's going on? Why are you crying? That young person could be bringing into the space, at least pointing to their elbow, showing the knee, saying to the heart, oh, I'm bringing into this space, I'm letting you know I'm coming with this need in this moment so that the support space is able to provide the support that is necessary and needed. So that's what the reawakening part of it is. And then the reconnecting, we have these memories that are embedded in our in us because of the experiences that we've had. And sometimes these memories are so, so harmful to us. So being able to reconnect with that and unlearn that memory, how are we able to replace that memory with a different memory or a different experience that helps us to be able to tell our stories and speak our truth in a more authentic and a more authentic and soft space, giving ourselves permission to feel that connection and be able to move on from that. In that space also is the silence of the science of silence. Just taking time to be present in the feeling. When a young person comes up to us and they are in agony and they're crying, the most common reaction that we would have, or we would hope we have, is that you would scoop up this young person and try to hush them, try to quiet them down, try to balance the feeling that they are expressing about the pain. So there is some beauty in just taking a moment to be silent and to really connect with what's going on, so that then you can start the process that you need to of remembering the ways, the different ways that you have achieved some form of peace in moments of distress or disharmony. Because sometimes we just need to pause and take a moment so that we can not be in a reactionary space, but we can be in a space that is responsive in a trauma-informed and healthy way. Doing those type of things, you start to think about like the texture and the rhythms of how you're in relationship with yourself, with your body, and with the people that are around you. So where can we go with the person that provides you in that moment, that kind of hushed, quieting down opportunity to be in silence with yourself? Those things are really important. How we're socialized in this space, right? Who can show up? There are, we have our gender expressions that might say that somebody that is born with a more masculinized presentation doesn't have the opportunity to be communicating the agony and pain, to be able to have that agony and pain soothed and calmed and bring you to that space of silence. So it's really about thinking about how we're socialized in this space and how we're responding to each other because of that socialization. Also entering in the space and having the memory of where our spirit is and whatever our belief systems are, what our mentality is in the moment. Are we able to reawaken and connect in a way that is healthy for ourselves? And then what physically are we feeling? For us to really be able to think about our affect theories of the fight, flight, fear, or collapse. Those are the types of things that we need to be able to recognize with ourselves internally so that we can begin to get to the healing space and place where we can have our needs met, soothe us, and help us to get to our balance. And once we've done that, we put ourselves in preparation for this process of returning to a space where then we can speak our truth, where we can tell our story, where we can share with those that are around us, and then hopefully also be an inspiration in the space and the place for people to be able to start building relationships that then turn the whatever the trauma is, whatever the harm is, whatever we've been reawakened to, build relationships so that we're collectively thinking about our human welfare and the opportunity for how we can hold each other in space as we tell our stories. And those spaces being safe spaces, because each of us come into the space with a story that we're connected to and that we're remembering, however different our experiences might have been, to get us to the place where we're in circle with each other or in any type of virtual space with each other to be able to have. There's a wonderful part about going through this process in a ritualistic way. And by ritualistic, I mean an intentional thought process when dealing with how are we going to be in our healing with ourselves first, and then with our collective communities around us. What are the rituals that we can start to do with each other to make sure that we are able to take care of ourselves so that then we can start taking care of each other? Which also brings me to, I don't know if I am on time. So I need like Dan or somebody to like give me a time check, because I'll talk.
Probably want to bring it together pretty soon.
Excellent, I can do that. So having the ritual in the space allows us really to be able to make sure that that helps us in the truth and reconciliation process to always be moving forward and evolving in our relationships with each other, with one another. And so those are the four directions that I'm offering into the space. The connectedness and going through the healing process and truth and reconciliation as an internal healing process so that it can then become an external process where we can continue to build relationships. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Wonderful. So just to remind folks that this is available, it will be available on our website. Listen to what you just heard and have more sort of quiet meditative time to process some more of it. It'll be available for you to do. So what's going to happen in a moment is Yelena is going to lead us in a prompt that we can take into our breakout sessions to do some of this internal work in small groups. And as Jay was saying so beautifully, we're doing this process to bring it out into the world in more powerful ways. We're going to get into more about culture and politics and what truth and reconciliation might look like out there. And for now, we're going to be working on what it looks like really close to home. So that's the stage we're in. Yelena, should I talk about the breakout agreements now or after you do the meditation?
You can do it now, so that way we can just move it into a space.
Makes sense. So the request is you're gonna be in breakout rooms, I think, for about 9 or 10 minutes in groups of three. So please track time and try to make sure that each person in your group has a chance to speak for about 3 minutes. Okay, so keep a little eye on yourself so that each person gets a chance to speak in for about 3 minutes each. When we come back, we'll invite folks to share some of what you was revealed to you, what you discovered for yourselves. My request is around kind of confidentiality, just in the sense of keeping things special to whomever's story it was. So I would encourage, feel free to share whatever came up for you as a speaker. And if there was stuff that came up for you as a listener, I welcome you to share that as well, without sharing the specifics of what someone else shared. So you can say, I was really touched, and here's what was evoked in me when I was hearing someone else speak, rather than here's what this person's story was, because that story, let's leave that story for them, is my request. Okay, over to Yelena to guide us into this little next section of work, play, work, play. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, thank you, Jay. So with this, I just want to invite you into a pause, into a silence, into that space of what Jay was talking about. Can we just stop and let this be actually a body exercise? Let it feel it in the body. Let it sink. You know, a lot of the times we are right here, we are on our head, and these words can just land here and we start to think, but can we just drop in? And by dropping in, I just invite you to find a position that you could just hold for a minute or so, because this will not be long, and invite in that just this connection, just this reconnecting, reawakening of what does it feel in your body. How are those words first scrape or, you know, a bruise, a heart, tender heart of land in your body? And you perhaps wanna bring even a story of remembering a moment where you felt hurt and then cared for. Something as little as a scrape. How did you take care of that? Who was there for you? Connecting with that. And then perhaps connect, reawaken, I invite you to return to the present moment. And notice your feet on the floor. Your body touching the ground or the seat, the surface you're sitting on, and reconnecting with this community and really with the question of what does the truth and reconciliation mean to you? What does that truly mean? Your body, to your heart, to your mind, and to your spirit. What do you want to cultivate? To be in the space where we can see each other, express our truth, and reconcile, and heal. Thank you all. Now all of you will receive an invitation. Break out, just slowly join there. There we go. We'll send you a reminder when it's the time to get back. Thank you all.
Okay, welcome back. So now is a, we'd love to hear some reporting back from whatever happened for y'all in the last 9 or 10 minutes. Again, welcome to share anything that was some discovery for you about your own experience, and prefer that you don't share any details of anybody else's sharing, but how it landed for you or how you were inspired or moved, that would certainly be welcome. You can raise your hand. Everybody's machine and everybody's software is a little bit different. So you might have a button that says you can raise a hand. If you are on your phone, you should be able to press *9 to raise a hand. Or if I can see you and you just want to raise your hand physically, I'm happy to call on you that way. Anybody who feels moved to share, let us know. Yes, John, wait. You can unmute yourself, I believe.
Yeah, our group had a bunch of some very positive things to say about things that are going on, and each person had some good experiences that I think could be summarized by saying that we feel there's a lot of good going on in the world, and groups like this are especially helpful and inspiring, and we're glad to be part of this effort in making the world a better place.
Thank you. It's heartwarming to me. Would someone else like to share? However you are moved. Yeah, Linda, welcome.
I think we found a common ground in forgiveness. I think that we talked about once we speak a truth, then we have to move through the stages towards reconciliation. But part of that moving through is through forgiveness. And we, all of us, had different experiences with that in our current lives, and talked about how we can help each other and move through that. So.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else like to share? Maybe just one more. I think we'd have time for one more person. Want to share anything that came up for you in that setting? It's fine if not. Okay. Well, let me. Yes, I see a hand. 719. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan. This is Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Just wanted to express my gratitude and appreciation for the individuals who were in the group with me, and also just to share that, it all seems that we're searching and that we're looking for a connection, and it, certain times of our lives, and I think that what really is meaningful and what we found is having a level of connection. Whether it's a trauma-related incident or it's social, political, religious scenarios. So I just am appreciative of the connection that we serve to share with everyone in this community as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Patty. I'm really getting a sense that there was a lot of rich and varied stuff in my sense happened in those breakout sessions. So it's good to hear some of the reporting back. And I want to name that this could be in some ways the beginning or the next step of a process that we are available to facilitate. We are going to be holding space, hosting a series of every other week or two Saturdays a month get-togethers of a cohort or working group around truth and reconciliation, and you are all invited to join. I'll specifically send an invitation to everyone who's registered for this call, so you'll certainly get an invitation. And we'll also send it to some of our broader email lists. So we'll be taking this, we'll continue to take this into the personal, into the political, into the cultural realms of truth and reconciliation. I want to bring your attention to the action packet that I emailed to everybody who was registered for this call about an hour ago. So you should have received it in your inbox about an hour ago. In that packet, it's very similar to the packet that we shared the last two calls over the summer. So as I said, this is the third in a three-part series around truth and reconciliation. One thing that's different in this packet is it actually names that there is a bill currently in the U.S. House of Representatives to create a United States Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Truth and Reconciliation Commissions have been highly effective in post-apartheid South Africa and in other parts of the world where a culture was in sore need of a national dialogue or a culture-wide dialogue to reveal what is true in the culture, in the history, in the present tense, and how can we go on together in the face of what has happened in our past. So this bill, it's HR 990. It was introduced by Joyce Beatty, who's from Ohio's 3rd District. There's just a little bit of information in that packet, but you can look it up at congress.gov. If you go to congress.gov and search Truth and Reconciliation, it currently has 67 co-sponsors. It was something that I look forward to paying closer attention to, possibly within this working group that is going to be formed of whoever comes to the table. Also in the action packet is a link to the toolkit that was created by the Sites of Conscience organization around intergenerational dialogues. And we had an entire call on this topic 2 months ago in July, which you might want to listen to the recording of. How can we move forward community by community and have dialogues around some of the wounds of our past, the wounds of Indigenous peoples' genocide and oppression, the wounds around slavery and the murders and horrors that went along with slavery in the building of this nation? How can we address this as modern day groups and move forward? So there's lots of tools in that packet, and we plan to unpack some of it in the months that come. We specifically plan a 3-month phase on the first and third Saturday at 2 p.m. So the next 3 months, on the first and third Saturday of the month, starting October 3rd, we'll be available to move this process forward. Yelena, Jay, and I are your tour guides, if you will, or traveling companions, more like, because we're certainly along for the ride as much as anyone. With that, I want to turn this over to Nancy Merritt, who's going to, speaking of legislation, is going to give us an update. Oh, I see. Barb has your hand up. I'm going to ask you to be pretty concise. I'm not sure what you want to offer, but we're a little tight for time right now. What's going on?
3 p.m. what time?
Sorry, 2 p.m. Eastern time.
2 p.m. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Thanks for clarifying that. 2 p.m. Eastern time on the first and third Saturday of the month, starting in October. Thank you. Yeah, Nancy, take her away for a Department of Peacebuilding update. Speaking of policy, there's a bill to create a U.S. cabinet-level Department of Peacebuilding, and Nancy is part of a wonderful team that works to advance it and has an event coming up, which we're excited to hear about.
Okay, well, thank you, Dan and Yelena and Jay. I'm slightly more calm now than I was at the beginning of the call. We've been working really, really hard to get ready for our Advocacy Day event. It's kind of an annual ritual that we do where we go to, generally, we go to Washington, D.C. every year around International Day of Peace to advocate for Department of Peace Building and other peace building legislation. So needless to say, this year we have to do all of this online, which is a challenge. We're learning a lot. So what's going to happen is it's in two parts, basically. We're calling it a Peace In Day on Sunday, September 20th, where we'll have a series of really good speakers who I'll tell you about in a minute. And then Peace Out on the 21st and 22nd, where we'll meet, schedule meetings with members of Congress and ask people to make some calls to Congress members. So on the 20th, we have a series of inspiring speakers to talk about building bridges, not walls. And it'll be pretty much all day. We have three segments with short breaks in between. And let me look at our times. 10:45 Pacific, noon Eastern time till about 5:30 or 6 in the late day Eastern time. So our speakers include Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who's the co-sponsor of the Department of Peace Building Bill, Dennis Kucinich, who's the former co-sponsor, Rita Marie Johnson, who collaborated on getting a department or a ministry of justice and peace in Costa Rica. Then we'll have a second segment with Cynthia Gilliam, who's a peace building community organizer in San Diego. Azim Kamiza, who is a part, who founded the Tariq Kamiza Foundation, and Marianne Williamson, who's one of our co-founders. Then the third segment will have Ambassador Anwar Chowdhury and Dot Maver, who used to be an executive director with this organization and is involved pretty much with every level of peace everywhere in the university. And then we have people from three continents representing the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace. So Saul Arbus from Canada, Alicia Cabezudo from South America, and Prince Orse Irene from Nigeria. So I hope you all tune in for this. It should be really exciting. And I hope you also all tell your organizations and those that you're connected with to please join in. It should be really interesting and fun. And then on for the part about connecting with Congress on Monday and Tuesday, I've sent out a bunch of e-blasts, but it'd be great if you try to either get a meeting with your member of Congress or write them and just ask them to support Department of Peace Building. And then we will also, we'll be sent a list of people for folks to call if they can't join the meetings or even if you can. It's our usual Amplify action where we have about 26 people we're asking people to call any number of those who are potential co-sponsors. And then we always do a gratitude part to this where we ask people to call and thank our current co-sponsors. And then of course, put a plug in for them to sign on again to the bill when it's introduced in 2021. And we invite you to attend any of the meetings that we're able to schedule. So that's the general picture. Did I possibly forget anything, Kendra? I can't hear you, but I'm assuming you're saying that was so good.
My lip reading said you did great, Nancy.
So that's the general idea, and I hope you all will participate to whatever degree you can. This is our way of also celebrating International Day of Peace, and we really would be thrilled to have any and all of you join in.
Thank you, Nancy. And if any questions are unanswered yet, the entire field should be getting emails about it. If you have any questions, nancy@peacealliance.org is an easy place to get questions answered around this event.
Yeah, and we will send out, I've sent out quite a few e-blasts already, but like a comprehensive one will go out as soon as the gods of advocacy fall into place, and I know all the pieces for sure.
And I encourage folks to check your spam filters, check your spam folder. Because I mean, if you're here, it probably means that you got an email. So at least it's working some of the time. But you might take a look, because I sent a test email to myself and I had to find it in my junk mail folder. All right, we're at the top of the hour, and I'm going to ask Yelena to bring us home with one more visit to that circular campfire. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. I'm going to turn it over to Yelena to take us out.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Nancy, and everybody for being in this space together. And as we gather again, I invite you to, again, warm up your hands by the fire and just send all that love and gratitude to each other and care. And yeah. Thank you all. Bring it back to you and bring it back into the world. Thank you for all the beautiful work you're doing in the world, friends. Be safe.
Thanks again for joining us, Jay. Yelena and Jay, thanks for being in this dream team.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jay. It was wonderful. Thank you all.
And hope to see many of you on October 3rd on the first of this series on Truth and Reconciliation. Best wishes. Good night, all. Yeah.
Bonani.
Good night. Thank you.
Yabo. Is that how you say it, Jay?
Yes.
Yabo.
Yabo.
Yabo. Yabo. What's the first, what's the first part again?
Nadia, good thoughts.
Thank you.
Be well.
Thank you, Elena. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Yeah.